Loving Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word, and lead us all to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. In our readings this morning, from John's Gospel and from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, we find two types of people. In the Gospel, people are looking for Jesus. They aren't sure who he is and what that will mean, but they are seeking. In the epistle, Paul is writing to people who have found Jesus, not firsthand, but through the spread of the gospel. And having found Jesus, how do they continue? Last week we learned about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. John's gospel calls miracles signs, and the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the signs Jesus used to reveal who he was. This week we learn what happened next. The people are hungry for more, and they follow Jesus across Lake Galilee. But Jesus isn't very welcoming. He tells them that they haven't come after him because they saw the sign. In other words, they haven't come after him because they have understood who he is. They have come because they want to see another trick. Jesus tells them they need to look for more than fast food. Jesus says they need food that will last. They need him. He is the bread of life. He is bread from heaven. So what can we learn from this passage? Well, a question we can ask ourselves is, why do we come to Jesus? Do we, like the Galileans, come to him looking for a quick fix? Do we come for a buzz from the worship and music? Is the liturgy and ritual our thing? Do we enjoy accumulating knowledge about Jesus rather than building a relationship with him? Is our faith about culture and heritage? Now Jesus, with love and grace, will meet us in all of these things because they are all aspects of our faith. But he is so much more, and if we limit him by our own limited expectations, then we will miss so much. Jesus needs to be our everyday food, our habitual food. He needs to be in the commonplace and the mundane things of our lives. He needs to be our daily bread, but he is also bread from heaven. He is miraculous, mysterious, and deeply profound, and we need to hold on to that mystery, the curiosity, the hunger that keeps us constantly seeking more of him. He calls us to follow him, to be his disciples, to learn from him and to do what he does. And that requires a willingness on our part, a willingness to allow Jesus to change us as he sees fit. We should not come to Jesus and tell him what he can and cannot do in our lives. In our reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he explains some of the elements of our calling. In chapter 1 of this letter, we learn that our calling is as chosen and adopted sons and daughters of the King of Heaven. We are called to be God's people, and Paul urges us to live lives worthy of this awesome privilege. There is an urgency in Paul's tone. He is a prisoner facing trial, and he is unsure of his future. So he is passing on important advice while he can. As God's people, we are to be humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love. We are to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit. Paul emphasizes our oneness. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father. Seven ones in one sentence. To help us live lives worthy of our calling, Christ has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are key roles necessary for the growth and multiplication of Christian communities. Paul does not say that these gifts will be present in any one person, but in the people. Apostles to spearhead and lead, prophets to discern the will of God, evangelists to effectively communicate the gospel to the world, pastors to care for the congregation, and teachers to effectively instruct the congregation. Why has Christ equipped us? So that we may be built up, become more mature, become more and more like Him. We are called to change and grow. The Galileans who came looking for Jesus were told to look deeper. The Ephesians who had found Jesus were told to continue looking deeper. Our journey of faith is to be an ongoing journey. We follow a risen Lord Jesus, and our faith needs to be moving and living. The church is a movement, not a monument. Growth is a sign of life, and if there is no growth, perhaps there is no life. A question to ask ourselves regularly is, am I in the same place I was a year ago? If we are, perhaps we have stopped growing. And here is a radical statement to make in church. We will not grow as we should if the only teaching we get is in church on Sundays. Food once a week is not enough for a growing, healthy body. It's not enough for our physical health. It's not enough for our spiritual health. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ is the goal of every Christian. So apart from church on Sundays, what do we have to help us become mature? In the busyness of our lives, we need to find time for daily bread. We need to allow God to feed us in prayer and through His Word. Other ways, membership of a house group or a nurture group is one of the best ways to grow in faith. They provide a safe place for us to ask questions, to discuss, to be challenged. And they also allow us to air doubts, to be vulnerable, to pray together for each other. We have various house groups or nurture groups operating out of St. Mary's, and each is a bit different in makeup and focus. But Bible study is a primary role of the nurture groups. But they also provide fellowship and support through the ups and downs of life. We journey together in relationship. We grow together, supporting each other in love as we grow. If you're not a member of a nurture group within St. Mary's or maybe outside of St. Mary's, then I would encourage you to prayerfully consider joining one of these nurture groups. I haven't spoken to the leaders, but if you are a leader of a nurture group, could you please stand up so people know who you are? Even if you're a bit shy. Thank you. I see someone. Steve? A leader? Yes, a leader. Or several leaders? Some people haven't. If you're so have a look. These are the leaders of the nurture groups we have in St. Mary's. Speak to them. If you are a member of a house group, could you now please stand up? So these are the members that we have here this morning. If you'd like to know about these nurture groups, house groups, please speak to these people as well after tea, tea and coffee, and ask them what they get from being members of a house group or nurture group. Please sit down. Thank you very much. It may be that you'd even like to consider forming your own house group, and if you would, I'd encourage you to speak to John or to Lindsay Shaw, and they will ensure you get the help, support, and guidance you need. Other ways to grow in faith? Well, the diocese offers loads of courses throughout the year in all aspects of Christian living. And there are also Christian conventions through the year, big gatherings of Christians, such as New Wine, New Word Alive, Spring Harvest, Grapevine, Bible by the Beach, Mission Worship, Soul Survivor. These are just a few of a great many opportunities for us to worship and grow alongside thousands of other Christians. Paul's desire is for us all to become mature Christians. Paul's warning is that unless we become mature, we will be blown here and there by every wind of teaching, deceived by scheming people. I was in London last week and I picked up this magazine. It's called Alternatives, a program of seminars through the summer. Let me read you some of the seminars that are available. Resonate Your Dreams. Nikki Slade will invoke the voice resonance journey with the practices of chanting from the heart to inspire bliss and grace to resonate your dreams into the world. Learning to become a vibrational match to the experiences you would like to attract allows synchronicity and magic to unfold in your life. Your Journey to Enlightenment. Learn practical techniques to energize and empower your journey and discover the secrets of bravery, love, and positive karma. That's by a guy called Richard Lawrence, author of 12 books on spirituality, psychic abilities, and extraterrestrial life. Celebrate the summer solstice with magical ritual, chanting, song, meditation, and dance. The summer solstice is a wonderful time to celebrate the magic of life and consciously manifest your dreams. Spirit guidance. Gordon Smith, one of the world's top psychic mediums, believes that our spirit guides are waiting for us to invite them to share their wisdom with us, and this connection is a pathway to spiritual development. At the back of the magazine are all kinds of adverts from people who will help you to communicate directly with your angels and fulfill your purpose, or learn powerful healing techniques that shift the matrix of your energy field. It's the kind of thing you might expect to find in a bookshop, an Eastern crafts and art shop, or even a local library. But I wonder if you would be shocked to learn that I picked this up in a church. On Sundays, you can go to this church for standard Church of England services. On Monday evenings, you can go there to find out about alternatives. Suppose someone in dire need of Jesus wanders into this church on a Monday evening, and instead of finding Jesus, they find an alternative. Yes, we are called to be inclusive. We are to be respectful of others. We are to be gentle when explaining our faith. We are to love others. We are not to be judgmental. In fact, Satan will even attempt to persuade us that being open to other beliefs is a sign of maturity. This is what the rector of this church has written at the beginning of the magazine. It is in the best tradition of Christianity that everyone is welcome into this sacred space, whoever we are and whatever our background. This we do warmly in a spirit of friendship and adventure, and wish alternatives a very happy 30th anniversary. Openness and respect must not surely mean we hold up other beliefs as equal to Christianity. If we believe our Bible, then there is only one truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's not an arrogant claim on our part. That's Jesus' own claim, and we shouldn't be embarrassed by it. Jesus is the truth. Anything or anyone else is a deception. The responsibility of the leadership of this Christian church and every Christian church is to ensure that when people walk through the doors, they are offered Christ, the fullness of Christ, and only Christ. And the purpose of the church in a confused and deceived world must be and always be to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. A prayer. Loving Father, give us hearts that hunger for you, that we may know you better and serve you better for your glory and your kingdom, and in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.